have four United Church ministers. In DeWinton, we have Marie Wedderburn, and here we have Dean Salter, and myself, and Janelle McClellan, who is going to be preaching for us today, and aren't we blessed? Janelle has chosen a scripture this morning that, rather than following it with, you know, may God help us to understand this, today I just wanted to follow it with yikes. You'll see why. Let's listen to this message from Jesus when he was asked a question from in the Gospel of Matthew. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me," it wouldn't have been church in that day to Jesus, it would have been the community, "sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made." Can you imagine if we did that today? So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay me what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Yikes. A word from our Holy Scripture.
Much more effective than our kind of laid-back United Church way of doing it. share the mysteries of this sacrament with me. And so I remain to this day a staunch United Churcher. However, even through the maturing of faith, many questions remained about the process of confession and forgiveness that could easily have stood a good sermon on any given Sunday, but we didn't preach about it much back then either. You see, I didn't realize until lately that even if someone has done me wrong and they don't repent, say they're sorry, they still deserve forgiveness in as much as any of us ever deserve forgiveness, asked for or not. I thought that forgiveness only came with repentance. It seemed clear to me at the time that without repentance there is no requirement for forgiveness. My understanding came about 20 years ago, when one summer I was fortunate to attend a learning session at the Iona community at the Retreat Center west of Scotland. The session was facilitated by a woman from Toronto who told the story of a truly terrible time of her life and how she was able to find some peace. Her daughter had been murdered when she was in her early teens, and the murderer was captured after a long and difficult investigation. Linda, I'll call her Linda, had been a woman of strong faith, but she admitted that that faith had been overwhelmed by the rage she experienced in the wake of the murder of her daughter. Linda told of the warping of all of her relationships, the shredding of her heart as she tried to cope with deep grief. I remember being astonished when Linda said that her healing only started when she read these words of C.S. Lewis, who put it this way. He said, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. Now, I understand from the newspapers this week that there has been something of the same situation experienced in Okotoks in the recent past. And my apologies if this example presumes any judgment on this community's sensibilities. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, or debts or sins, depending on whose liturgy we're following. How can we purport to follow Jesus, to love what he loves, and not forgive as we have been forgiven? Even unto the cross we have been forgiven. And that isn't just a personal forgiveness, although that's usually the terms that we put forgiveness in. For I believe that that's a forgiveness for the sins of the world, even for those structural sins that we live within, even though we may not feel personally responsible. That we have sinned collectively is without question. Just look at the front pages of any newspaper. Stories of war, stories of pollution and famine, those are structural societal sins. But the theologian Frederick Buchner stated it this way on the theory on the problem of forgiveness. He said, I think it's possible to say that in spite of its extraordinary variety, the Bible is held together by one single thought. It is one that can be simply stated. God created the world gets lost. God seeks to restore the world to the glory for which it was created. So right now, the world gets lost. We are lost. Another word for the state of sin used today is separation, or perhaps unfaithfulness to God. But the topic of this month is forgiveness. I theorize that most of us understand the wage of personal redemption. whether it be through the Catholic understandings and private confession, or through Protestant understandings of public prayer and liturgical confession. We almost all know the story of 70 times 7. How much is that? We have to calculate it fast, right? But it actually means, in biblical terms, it means never-ending confession. One example of our return to a confessional church is found in More Voices. I'm just going to read for you a verse. Number 79 in More Voices is a wonderful hymn written to us by Ruth Duck, who has been a sure poetess for us for about 30 years now. And this is what she writes in this hymn. Spirit, open my heart to the joy and pain of living. As you love, may I love. In receiving and in giving, Spirit, open my heart. And this is the confession part. God, replace my stony heart with a heart that's kind and tender. All my coldness and fear to your grace, I now surrender. Repentance is the path to salvation. It is the path to reconnection, the path of transformation. I have experienced this in my own life. For years, a close relationship was impossible because I refused to repent. I was the one that was wrong. There was no request for forgiveness from the wrongdoer. What was lost in those years of separation? What was the harm done to my heart over the years? How sad. Perhaps the discussion with the priest would have been very helpful. Perhaps saying the words, I'm sorry, even if only privately between God and me, would have been the start of the reconnection, the forgiveness. Because salvation, whether personal or social or societal, always requires our response. God has provided the way of our return in the teachings and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but without our response, little or nothing will change in our hearts, in our lives, or in the life of the world. As St. Augustine said, God without us will not, and we without God cannot. Thank you, Almighty God, for the offer of redemption. May we find the courage to accept it. Amen.
We're now going to take some time for reflection on our theme or whatever has spoken to you.